Hello and welcome to This One Time at Summer Camp. This is the podcast where we speak to people who have been to camps, worked on camps, and organised the camps. I'm Steve Bouger, UK-based stand-up comedian, and I am going to be hosting the show, chatting to people, sharing their stories, their memories, and their mishaps for our enjoyment. For anyone not familiar with what a summer camp is, it's an American institution. Parents send their kids to these summer camps, often in far-flung places in the middle of nowhere, and instead of looking after them for the summer holidays, they let strangers look after them on activity camps. And often the strangers are international, so people fly from Britain, Australia, all over the world to go and work on these summer camps and look after these American kids. And we are going to be talking to some of them and finding out some of their stories. When I was 19 years old, I actually went and worked on a summer camp myself in Scranton, Pennsylvania in 2009. I arrived as a sort of naive, unprepared little virgin, and I left 10 weeks later, sort of more rounded, more confident, and still a virgin. Today's guest is American comedian and podcaster Ari Shaffir. Ari actually went to summer camp as a child, so we get his perspective on what it was like being at one of these camps, and he's absolutely brilliant. He's so funny, and I absolutely loved talking to him. He tells us all about his first experience of porn while at camp. He tells us what a fluffernutter is, and it's not dirty, despite what it sounds like. And he also tells us why he actually got kicked out of camp once. So enjoy it. This is the brilliant Ari Shaffir. Today's guest is an actual American, someone who went to summer camp, comedian, podcaster, Jew, Ari Shaffir. Hello, Ari.
What's happening, Steve? That's
good,
great.
Man. Do you mind if I is that all right, putting Jew on the end of those
two? Totally all right. That's my normal introduction.
Thanks for coming on the podcast. I did your podcast back in October, and we Skeptic Tank, and we ended up talking a lot about summer camp. So I thought you'd be an obvious choice to come onto the show. You went to a summer camp from ages of what?
Let's see. I went to Camp Moshava, Jewish, Orthodox Jewish camp for I don't know exactly. I think it was like 10 through 15 maybe.
Oh, so you went a lot of summers.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But
also quite formative years, like 5 years of like real, that's when you're doing a lot of growing.
Yeah, but it wasn't like we lost our virginities or anything. It was like super Orthodox Jewish. So it was just like different level of nerd.
How strict was it? What were we talking when it's Orthodox Jew? What you're allowed to do?
You could wear like t-shirts. That was okay. You could play basketball.
Was that your luxury?
Yeah, you always had the frisbee on your head. And nothing on Friday night and Saturday.
Do you just have to like study scriptures and stuff, or
no? Just no electricity. So we would go on like Shabbos walks. That was the big date.
Oh yeah, you mentioned this on your podcast, a Shabbos walk. So that's like you'd go with a girl.
Yeah, Shabbos is the Sabbath.
Yeah,
and then walk is walk.
Okay, yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah,
that's translating all of it. And then you would just ask a girl that you liked, that you fancied, and then you would you would just go walk around the campus on Saturday because it was less activities. And if you got really like, if you found like a real out there, like, you know, tramp, you might be able to like handhold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that's like, you can't
real
expect
slutty
that.
Behavior.
Yeah. That's the lucky. I mean, if you get one of those, you're like, what?
So this is like Friday night. You're walking around with a date. Are other people doing it? Like, is it just like loads of people in pairs walking around on dates?
There's other ones too. And it wasn't Friday night. It was Saturday day.
Oh, okay.
Friday night we did some singing and some meals and some breaking bread, and then yeah, Saturday day was really like off and bored.
And presumably Friday night you're lining up who the date's going to be with, like who you're going to go walking with.
Yeah, last chance for paradise. You wanna get those last Shabbos walk dates in. You might not have a Shabbos walk too. It's not like everybody was like a ladies' man like you are, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just go by the archery fields and the zip line area. Man, camp is so fun now that you think about it.
Is it a fun memory? Like when you think back to it, does it bring back good fun memories?
Yeah, because I'm just thinking about it. Archery, zip lines, there was a lake where you could run. It's like just really fun.
Yeah, like when do you ever get to do archery now?
Never. I mean, you'd have to be a weirdo.
If someone said to you like, oh, I'm going to go play archery on Wednesday, I'd be like, what? You're weird. But at camp, it's like, oh yeah, you do that every day.
Yeah. Even if somebody's like, I'm going to play tennis, you're like, so strange as an adult. But archery, forget it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And zip line, that, I've got so many questions if someone's going on a zip line. But at camp, that's like your standard activity. People, just every day.
I don't think they really locked us in on the zip line. I think it was like you hold on.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't believe it was like a really like safe situation. I think it was just like, don't be an idiot and let go.
You would think at an Orthodox Jew camp, there'd be a bit more safety conscious.
Yeah.
Let's step back a little bit. Could you explain like what a summer camp means to an American? Because it's not really a thing here. Like we don't do summer camps in Britain. We sort of maybe go to like a summer school. Like we might do a fun like football camp or something like that. But it'll only be like a day thing and it would only last like a week maximum. Whereas in America, it's a lot longer and it's a much bigger part of your culture, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's mostly for rich kids. Jews, a lot of Jews go. It's a richer thing. So like there's almost no black summer camps as far as I know. You just have to have the money to be able to like spend another five, and now I think it's like $20,000.
$20,000 for a summer camp.
I think it's expensive, yeah.
At your camp, would there be your school friends or are they like camp friends? Are they, is there like a divide?
Camp friends. I'd have a couple like overlappers like of my for my school, but just a couple. Yeah, we all would go to something, but it's all in Pennsylvania. So you drive from Maryland, and it was just in Honesdale, Pennsylvania, this nowhere town.
Well, that's where my camp was. It was just outside Honesdale, and we'd go to Honesdale like shopping.
Oh, yeah, that was the big walk.
I remember there was a cinema there, there was a big car park, there was a Walmart, and maybe like a restaurant or something. And yeah, we'd go on our days off. But would you go as a kid? Like when you were at camp, and did they let you go to the like real life? Did they let you escape camp?
No, absolutely not. We would have a couple times a year where we would take a walk into town to like buy supplies. But we didn't have to. The food was taken care of. But then we'd buy like Fluffernutter, a thing of that.
You buy what?
Fluff. Do you remember Fluff?
Is that slang?
No, it's a spread. It's a marshmallow spread.
Oh, okay. Almost like a candy floss kind of thing?
Nutella and Fluff together, or I think the full name was Fluffernutter. What a tremendous matchup. The chocolate marshmallow. Yeah, dude. It doesn't get any better than that. But they wouldn't serve that in the camp, so you'd have to go in and get it on your day in.
You have to get... Are you, like, sneaking that in? Is that, like, contraband? Or
no, you're allowed. You're totally allowed. But it's just, like, they wouldn't serve it. So, like, when you would walk in, you're like, I think I'm going to take this 10 bucks I have and buy a thing of Fluffernutter and a thing of Nutella. The bread, obviously, we get.
For free. You're not wasting your money on the bread.
Yeah, you can't cheat people on the bread. Yeah, and we must have gone the wrong way around because it took us, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours to walk in. It was, like, a nice, long, like, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings walk.
And the prize at the end is Fluffernutter.
Fluffernutter, yeah. You got to look up Fluffernutter, man, or get some.
I'm definitely going to Google Fluffernutter. Are your counselors with you?
Yeah, counselors are with us. We found porn from a counselor once.
No.
Yeah, he had only done the first session and then left. We found he left his porn. He left his magazine.
Oh, my God. What year are we talking here? Is this pre-internet, I guess?
Oh, yeah, by a long way. So this was must have been like... In the 80s, I'm trying to think if I was maybe like 85, 86, 87, something like that.
The peak of the magazine porn era.
It was, I don't believe it was a Penthouse, which was like super randy. I think it was a Playboy, which was just like no penetration.
Right, okay. But that's like, presumably on camp, that sent you guys wild.
Oh my God, we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what, this was like, what the fuck? And then they had a call. And explained to us that it was just something he found and he had confiscated it and he forgot it and he was sorry. Yeah, looking back now, that guy was just jerking off. No big deal. He was like an 18-year-old. He was jerking off.
So you would like get looked after by teenagers, like only a few years older than you, really?
Yeah, I'm surprised there was never any like sexual stuff.
Well, there probably was, wasn't there, between the counselors.
Yeah. Oh, between the counselors for sure. There had to be, because they would go and go into, like you said, go in and watch movies and do stuff like that. They had their off days. So it was like, if I remember right, it would be like one or two counselors were on duty for all the bunks, and they had to come do bunk checks.
Yeah.
And then the counselors, you know, we'd be in bed by, what, 8 o'clock? And they'd be like, we don't have to go to bed yet.
Yeah, and they've just got all evening to flirt and eat Fluffernutter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right, you're at camp. You've got these 18-year-olds looking after you, but they're jacking off. They're reading porno magazine. Well, they're reading Playboy. What was like your day like? Do you remember like a standard camp day?
You wake up, you would have to go to prayers. That's the first thing.
Okay, because it was a Jewish, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then breakfast, and then you're off. Then you probably have a little bit of free time, like 30 minutes or something, change, whatever, and you start first activity. Then activity, 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 lunch, break, activity, activity, activity. You know, so it was like archery, and then you do that for an hour, and then you go for boating, and then somebody else who was doing boating earlier probably would, then they would go to archery, and then you'd go to zip line.
And you had a big lake, and you go boating on it?
You would go boating, we'd go swimming, which was disgusting. And that had to be, especially when you talked to me on my podcast on Skeptic Tank, that had to be where, like, after hours, where the counselors would go to fuck.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. Sneak off down to the lake.
Down by the lake, yeah.
And then the next day, they're taking the kids down there.
Yeah, and then it's like, let's avoid this white puddle. I think it's...
Yeah. Don't go in that bush, guys.
It's been defiled.
Okay, so, well, we've touched on it, I guess. Did you have camp romances? Because you're like, what, 10 to 15. That's prime girlfriend, boyfriend age.
Yeah,
I had a girl... Did you have a camp girlfriend?
I had a girlfriend 1 year named Rachel. And I hit it off. I was in love with her very much.
How old are we talking?
Let's see. I'm remembering the camp, the bunk I was in. I think that was later. I think that was one I got thrown out in. So probably 15. Probably.
Okay, we'll come back to you getting thrown out. So you're with Rachel, 15. So yeah, that's reasonable to be boyfriend and girlfriending. And did you keep in touch after camp, or was it very much just a holiday
romance? No, we broke up in camp.
Oh.
And it was a tumultuous breakup because I had a crisis of faith. My first crisis of faith.
At camp?
Yeah, and she couldn't handle it.
Oh, man. That's like the opposite of what they wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was on the roof of this bunk, and it was, you know, tilted. And I kind of lost my balance. And I started, like, spinning, you know, like, towards the end of the roof.
Right.
And I started just like tumbling and tumbling. And then I was able to catch myself, like a leg fell off or something. And then I was able to like hold on and not fall. But I was so scared of falling that I faced my own mortality for the first time. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, I could have died.
You could have died. I mean, I've got so, like, why were you on the roof in the first place?
Sitting there, it was cool. You know, some 15-year-old punk thinks he knows the way of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you thought, I need to be up there. I'm not a ground level punk.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to be above everybody and really, really show them like Ari's fucking going crazy here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it really blew up in your face because you're, next thing you know, you're hanging off the side of this bunk roof.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I probably would have just broken a leg or something, or maybe not even if I could have fallen straight. They're not that high and you're falling into dirt instead of cement. But I started really contemplating, like, is there a God? I don't know how I went from like almost falling to like, there's no God. I think maybe it's because nobody protected me, or like if I did die, it would have been the end. I just felt like it would have been the end.
So you just thought like if there was a God, he wouldn't have let me fall off this roof. Like he would have let me just chill on this roof in a safe way.
I'm not sure. It was either that or facing the idea of death. I wasn't like, okay, well, at least I'll go to heaven. Maybe I was like, that'd be it.
Oh, okay. It's almost like you almost went to the other side and realized there was nothing there.
Yeah, there is no God. And so then I spent about a day and a half in bed crying.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a big formidable moment for me. I can't remember. I believe I don't remember any of it. And I eventually, the counselor had to get me out of bed. But I was talking to Rachel about it. And when I was hitting, I remember we were in a schmutz, which means dirt. It was like a sleepaway in a tent, you know, where you go camping.
Yeah.
As if camp is not dirty enough. They're like, go dirtier for like a day or two at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to her in my tent and telling her I didn't believe in God. She was like, I can't be with you. She got real serious.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't be with you if you don't believe in God. I'm a religious woman.
And she thought you were going to like drag her down to the bad side.
Yeah, the way gravity had dragged me down.
You know, I don't want to slag off Rachel, but to be honest, she didn't stand by you.
She did not stand by her man at all. I had one crisis and she's fucking out.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Just one slip off a roof and she's like, nah, this guy is trouble.
Fuck this guy. Like, what? Help me, Rachel. Help me. Turns out years later, I lost my faith fully. You know, I got it back in camp, but then I lost it fully and I got to think it's Rachel's fault.
Okay. So you're at summer camp. You lost your girl. Was that the last time you went? That when you were 15?
I believe that was the last year too. Yeah, because I got thrown out that year, and I never went back.
Why did you get thrown out?
I got thrown out because we had Shechem, which was means canteen. And so you had a bunch of money in Shechem, and you got to every day at breakfast, you'd fill out what you wanted, candy bars or soda.
Yeah.
Man, they really did not diet us well.
I mean, we had a chef over here called Jamie Oliver who like made our school dinners like really healthy. And it sounds like he could have done it. He could have had a real field day at your camp.
Yeah, we would have revolted. We would have killed that guy. With about a week left, I started real Jewy. I started like, okay, I'm going to get every penny out of this. I don't want to get left with 5 cents or 10 cents and have nothing to buy.
Yeah.
I want to aim it so I'm down to zero. Yeah, and my accounting background that we all have genetically assisted me. And so I was able to be like, okay, I got to avoid a 35 cent, I go for a 55 center today and really focus it and get it down. And so with one day left before the end, I had it. I had already got to zero. And so they passed around the Shechem list, but it was like a victory lap for me. I'm at zero. I fucking did it. I did it. I beat them.
Yeah. No leftover.
Yeah. So instead, putting up X's or putting nothing in the boxes, I wrote a letter in each box. And the letter was F-U-C-K and a space. I just wrote, fuck you, bitch.
Right.
I didn't know who the Shechem person was.
But you were so happy that you'd done your accounting right.
Yes. Yes.
You were celebrating maths, really, is what you were doing.
That's what I was doing. I mean, the only other celebration was I can get a fiddle and go jump on a roof,
Yeah.
But like, this was like, yeah, I really believe I was writing fuck you, bitch, to the list and not to anyone in particular.
And it happened that someone read that and...
Yeah, of course she read it because she was paid to read the Shechem list.
Yeah, that was naive of you.
Yeah, and then they came to me like, what is this? And I was like, what? And like, this? And I was like, oh, yeah, I did curse. Like, you cursed out the Shechem lady? And I was like, oh, no. I was just cursing out the list. And they did not believe me, which I can understand now.
Did you even know the Shechem lady?
No. I didn't know it was a lady. I just thought, you just go to the window and you pick up your Shechem. You pick up whatever you ordered. I don't know who's there. Different counselors work there,
That is unfortunate. Maybe she was really sensitive that day, and like any other day, she might have read it and be like, "Ah, he's just celebrating his numbers." But nah, she felt a bit vulnerable that day. She read it, "Fuck you, bitch." She's like, "You're leaving."
Yeah. So they had a big powwow with me, and they were like, "You're out." But there was only like a week left, so like it's not enough time to send you home. It's not worth it for us. So you're on administrative leave. You're not going to do any of the activities anymore. You're just staying in your bunk.
You're like grounded at camp.
Ironically, right now, that would be lovely for me to get out of the city of New York. I'm sure it's the same with London, where you're like lacking nature.
Yeah.
Just to be stuck, not having any activities or places to be, just walking around in the summertime.
Just like a retreat.
Oh, yeah. And it was pretty nice, actually. It was pretty fun after I got over the embarrassment. I could still go to meals with everybody.
I mean, you'd go to the check-in and look the lady in the eye.
I'm pretty sure I had to apologize. I did a couple things like that. Where I shot a teacher in the back of the head once with a paperclip.
Okay. I'm glad you said paperclip at the end, because otherwise that would feel like that. You should have got kicked out for that alone.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous Minds. Yeah, you put a paperclip, you cut it in half, you pull a rubber band, you pull it back and like let it go. And then it would just like zip it. The velocity was crazy. And I remember him turning around and going, oh, who did that? But I was smart enough to shoot the rubber band away before he turned away. So he immediately searched my desk, found nothing because I was smart.
Yeah.
And then fucking Bernice Weigert told on me.
Oh, man. I love that you remember that name as well.
Oh, I'll never forget. The Holocaust, that's hazy, but this fucking thing, Bernice Weigert, fuck that.
Welcome back to This One Time at Summer Camp. I'm Steve Bouchard. We'll get back to Ari Shaffir very shortly. But this is our first episode, so I would ask very kindly, would you, if you enjoy the podcast, you find it funny and interesting and informative, please A, tell your friends, anyone who you've done summer camp with maybe, or someone you're going to do summer camp with, just please spread the word. It's really helpful. And please, 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 I know you hear this on every podcast, but please subscribe and leave a review, because it makes a huge difference to the algorithms or whatever. So if you say something nice about the podcast, it will go higher up on the list, and that's really helpful for us. So if you do like it, please do that. If you don't like it, just stay quiet. Don't mention it. But thanks very much for listening. And I am really passionate about summer camp. I love talking about summer camp, but I think that comes across in the episodes we've done. I did it, as I say, in 2009, and I think I'd recommend it. Like, I think everyone, you know, who goes to university or just has a summer free should give it a go, you know, because I think it's such a rewarding experience, and you kind of learn so much about yourself. And I went mainly because I didn't want to work at WH Smith's for a summer in Bishop Stortford. But I remember the first time I heard about it was from my brother's girlfriend, who she was 3 years older than me, and she came back raving about working on a summer camp, and it was all she would talk about for weeks. But I remember thinking, if she is that passionate about it, it must be good. So I sort of 3 years later, when I went to university, I signed up and found Camp America, the Freshers' Fair, and went and did it myself. And it's honestly one of the best decisions I've ever made. So if anything good can come out of this podcast, it's hopefully more people will do it themselves and go on this incredible journey to America. I went in 2009 and worked in Pennsylvania on a camp for autistic children. And they were amazing. My favorite kid, I mean, she didn't have favorites, but he was my favorite, is called CJ. And he was 14 years old, and he had incredible ability. His memory was amazing. So he had memorized the entire, all the series of SpongeBob SquarePants, right? Every episode. So you could say like series 3, episode 4, and he would recite that episode of SpongeBob SquarePants to you in full with all the voices in the right. It was amazing. And I remember watching him one afternoon just walking around the grass on his own, just talking to himself out loud the whole episode. And then other kids sort of caught onto it and started just following behind him, like listening to the episode, like laughing along and just enjoy it. It was like Netflix meets Conga, you know, it was beautiful. And I just, that always sticks with me as a it's such a beautiful memory. Anyway, enough of me, sorry. You'll hear more about my memories throughout the series. But now, without further ado, let's get back to Ari Shaffir.
Yeah, so I got thrown out. It was crazy. And I had been almost thrown out a bunch of times over the years for pyromania.
What, setting fires?
Yeah, that was a big problem in camps because you had Lysol and you had bunk walls. You never did that?
No.
You write your name in cursive?
No, what do you mean?
You take Lysol or Off, which is a bug spray.
Right. Oh, and it's really flammable.
Yeah, it's really flammable. And you write your name in cursive on the wall, on the wooden, like half cardboard, half wooden, untreated wall of the bunk.
Oh my lord!
And then you would hit a match or a lighter to just one of them, just to get, and you would see it like write the cursive name, you know, because it's all connected.
And I guess it didn't take long for the counselors to work out who did it. They just walked in and went, "Oh, who did the? Oh, it's Ari. I can see his name."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wasn't me. Like, really? You're the only Ari in here. Why would someone write Ari?
Yeah, you could really incriminate a friend though.
Yeah, I remember them going like yelling at me, like, "What are you, a pyro?" Trying to like tough love me, you know? And I was like, "No." And I was like, "What does that mean? Like someone who loves fire?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, actually, maybe I am a pyro. That's a pretty good word. Yeah, I do love fire."
That is how I feel. Yeah, I am a pyromaniac.
Pyromaniac. I like the maniac part. Pyro is all new.
Did your bunk get set on fire, or was it all right?
No, it's fine. It just would burn out. It would just, once the Lysol or the Off spray burnt out, it would just like go out. But I mean, it's poor form. You would also do it to your pants and stuff. You would spray the Lysol or the Off all over your pants and then light them up. And so it wouldn't light the pants. It would light just the alcohol and the spray.
I was never gutsy enough to do stuff like that. I remember people used to spray like Lynx and then like a flamethrower. They'd light it as they were doing it. And I was terrified because it's actually really dangerous because it could blow up and your hand would explode.
Oh, yeah. We used to take a whole can of it during one of the schmutzes, during the camps, you know, and we would throw the bottle, the empty bottle, into the campfire and then run. Yeah.
Oh man. So you were pretty badly behaved, is what you're saying. I'm now not surprised at all that you got kicked off this camp. You sound like a really bad influence.
As I talk about it, I'm like, yeah, I should have been kicked out. There's no way I should be around good Jewish kids.
No, you really, yeah. I mean, Rachel was right to leave you, is what we're learning here. She could do a lot better. Do you know Rachel now, by the way? Have you seen her since?
No idea. Don't even know her last name.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, but what are you going to do?
Did your parents ever visit the camp? Because I remember my camp, we had Parents' Day, and they would come, and it was quite a big deal, because A, as a counselor, we'd get tips from the parents, but also the kids were just dead excited because they got to see their parents for the first time in 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah, there was visiting day. It was, when was it? It was like two and a half weeks in to each session.
Yeah.
I don't think they had a visiting. I think they had a mini visiting day on the in between day, but I was pretty adamant. I was like, do not come. This is when we go to Dorney Park,
the theme park.
Yeah,
yeah, we went there. So your parents would come. What would they take you out of camp, or are they just going to go to archery with you? Are they going to go on the zip line? Like, is your dad just like in the boat with you?
You would take him on a tour for sure of the place, you know, to show him around. Oh, here's the archery field. Here's my buddy. You would introduce him to your friends. You know, at 14, you're like, oh, I got to introduce you to this guy. You know, like whatever, Svika or whatever, some Jewy name. Take him on a tour and then just talk. And they'd have a nice packed lunch for you. There was no place to eat. Aww. There was kosher around there, but they'd pack a nice lunch and you were like, you'd just be super into it. They'd re-up you on snacks.
Did your parents meet Rachel?
No. That year, either they didn't come or would have been before. No, I don't think they did.
Because I guess your parents would have missed you. Like, I mean, I know they've sent you away in the first place, but it just seemed a little bit harsh, but that's part of the culture or whatever. But they must like quite look forward to seeing you.
I'm trying to think how old my parents were. Yeah, they probably did. I can't. It's tough for me to imagine that because I'm like, all I can think of with kids is, oh my God, they're awful. And I would love that time away from them. But I can't really put myself in the place of like, oh, actually loving your children.
You know that moment when you see your friend's parents? Like even now, if you see your friend's parents, it kind of like you see a whole different side to them. You're like, oh, that's why you're like that. Like you do this. And they also behave a bit differently around the parents. It must have been weird at camp because you got to know all your friends and then suddenly their parents arrive.
Oh, yeah. And then they're goody two-shoes suddenly. They're suddenly like a way different person. You're right. The cool thing about camp is you can reinvent yourself. Day one, you only knew like maybe one or two people who knew you. So you could be anybody.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you didn't have these predispositions. Nobody saw you piss your pants, you know. In second period, that's all wiped out. It's you start fresh.
Well, that was sort of the same for me when I went and worked in summer camp. I knew no one, so I wasn't the geek at school anymore. I wasn't the kid who cried at laser tag. Like I was the funny one, and that's when I started doing stand up comedy at camp, which we talked about in your one. But so I guess it's the same for the kids.
Yeah, you stopped being Steve Bugergea and you became Steve B.
Yeah, Stevie B. Cool guy. I mean, in the end, they worked out that I was a loser, but it did last for a good 4 weeks.
Dude, I love how kids can just tell, like, no, this is what you are. It's not just reinventing yourself. We can pick it up.
You revert back to your natural state, didn't you? So when you went to camp, what did you reinvent yourself as? Like, what was your, where did you go from and to?
Oh, you know, super hip race car driver who got all the ladies. But no, I don't know. Just like normal, not as dorky. I wasn't as into Lord of the Rings. I kind of kept that shit to myself.
Occasionally would let slip out and you'd be like, oh no, the Lord of the Rings stuff, I'll just mention the Hobbit.
My mom's like, you always read this over and over again, you want to bring it again? I'm like, yeah, I'll bring it. And then we just leave it at home. I'm like, I guess I forgot it. She's you know, she's like, I brought it for you on your
visiting day. She turns up with your pajamas and stuff, your Lord of the Rings pajamas.
Yeah, then I have to hide it in Lord of the Rings pajamas. It's so fun. But I was a bedwetter there too, so that was a big problem.
What, at camp?
Yeah, that was a real issue.
How was that dealt with in the morning?
Okay, well, I would piss my bed, and then
sure, I get that bit. I'm on board with that.
Okay,
bit.
So at home, I would just leave. My mom would go to my room and smell piss and change the sheets, wash the sheets. You know, in camp there was no mom, so I just like left the bed, and then you know at 9 p.m. the next day or that day, get back into bed.
Oh no!
Yeah, quite slowly this time. A little embarrassed and a little gross feeling, and then just find like a pocket where you could warm up the piss around you with your body.
Oh no.
And then just not move. You'd shower in the morning. Oh my God, I'm going to tell a story and it's going to be really awful. So every day I'd piss in it. And you know those thin, almost prison-like mattresses that we had in the bunk beds? And I was top bunk.
Yeah, just a bit of sponge.
Yeah, this guy Shmuley was on the bottom bunk. And one day I got into bed. I don't know if you know how rain works, where the amount of like water kind of keeps staying in the cloud until it gets too heavy, and then it just lets it all out.
Oh no.
Yeah, I got into bed and I just heard this whoosh,
Oh.
and it's just sponged out this weeks and weeks of piss.
Torrential urine.
Torrential urine, yeah, a torrential downpour of urine onto Schmully's bed.
Oh, poor Schmilly.
Poor Schmully. Thank God for me and for him. He was brushing his teeth at the time.
Oh, he wasn't in the bed.
He was not in the bed, but I felt it, you know, and I heard it, and I knew what it was, and I was like, oh, that's it. Didn't dry up at all, dude. I had flies around my bed all the time. It was terrible, and then. So then he comes back and just like touches it. And I just hear him go, what the? And I'm lying super still in bed, like not moving. And he's just like, what the fuck? He didn't curse, but he's like, what is this? Somebody pissed on my bed. Who pissed on my bed?
Oh,
What the hell? Super angry. He thought it was a prank or somebody really like hate criming him, you know? And I just didn't move because I knew if I moved or rolled over, maybe more piss would come out. I just had to stay there laying super still as he was like, you know, played the game of like who pissed on my bed. And to him, I wasn't a suspect because I'm lying in bed, you know, I'm not out of bed. So how I wouldn't have gotten out of bed, pissed in his bed, and gotten back. No one could conceive. No, it actually wasn't somebody pissing your bed. It was weeks and weeks of old urine being wrung out onto the sheets you sleep
Oh,
on.
God. So you got away with it.
I got away with it. The counselor, I think, figured it out.
Surely there was like a damp mattress as well above him. That must have been a clue.
Yeah, but much like a ninja, no one looks up. So you can
That's
hang
true.
on to the ceiling.
So you're just there, like trying not to move on the mattress, making sure no more piss drips
Oh my
out.
God. And the counselor the next day was like, Ari, I know you've been like peeing your pants. I don't know how to do this. And it was so embarrassing. And he's like, but it was nothing I could do. It wasn't like, yeah, I'll be better. It was like, yeah, I'm not going to be better. That's just what I do. I mean, that went till I was 16. So that was about the right age. This was like 13.
You'd think after a week that it put you on a bottom bunk.
Yeah, right? You think like, hey, switch it up here, man. Why am I on top? Give me my own, like, don't get me in a bunk bed. Like, make me alone.
The old bedwetter above you.
Yeah, we have to change. You change your sheets. You wash your sheets like once a week in the laundry. So I'd have like new sheets, you know, three, four times a summer. But
Yeah.
the mattress doesn't get washed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's just building up.
Ugh, I forgot about that. Ugh. Yeah.
I'm really glad we brought that out of you.
Yeah. Good year otherwise, though. I mean, once I was out of the bunk and I showered, I it was gone. It was gone from my mind until the horror of like 8, 9 p.m. rolling around. I was like, shit, they're gonna know. They're gonna know. They're gonna know.
Yeah, like all day you're just doing archery, you're doing your zip lining, and then you get back into bed and you're like, oh, this is what I did. I forgot what I did.
Yeah, and all that, yeah, that's probably why Rachel dumped me. It was like, I don't know, you smell like piss all the time, and then fucking, what's this? You don't believe in God? Well, God doesn't believe in you, asshole face, fucking piss pants.
Amazing. Well, thanks very much, Piss Pants Ari Shafir. Thanks for coming on the podcast and reliving your memories.
Yeah, that was great, dude. That was really fun.
This has been the first episode of this one time at summer camp. As I said earlier, please, please, please like and subscribe the podcast on whatever app you are using. It really helps us out, especially this early on, to get some traction. And also, please, if you've got stories or memories from summer camps yourself, I would genuinely love to hear about it. There's nothing more I love than just talking about summer camp. So just tweet me or get me on Instagram. My name is Steve Bugeja. My surname is spelled Bugeja, Bugeja. And just let us know your stories, and maybe I'll read some out on the podcast. But genuinely, I'd just love to hear from you. And please share it with your friends. And if you're working on summer camp now, enjoy it. Next episode's guests are Tom and Chelsea. They were absolutely brilliant to record with. It was one of my favourite ones. They both worked on summer camps a few years ago. They've both also got sort of toilet-based anecdotes. It's a common theme at these summer camps. And Chelsea actually is our first guest who isn't 100% positive about the summer camp experience. So that'll be intriguing. So see you next time.